Chisholm. I'm just Chisholm. I'm Chis Chisholm. I'm just Chisholm.
Yo, backdrafters, welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam Creep and Chiz.
And I'm Chiz Chisholm, a.k.a. Steve Creep. I'm feeling slimy today, folks.
And that's because we're talking about love, a.k.a. 2014's Christian Mingle. In brackets, yeah. The movie?
The movie? A dating site be a movie?
Is this OK Cupid the movie?
No way.
No.
Why didn't they do OK Cupid the movie? Do you think they did OK Cupid the movie and it didn't work and then just used the script for this?
Probably. Well, there's plenty of Christian Mingle commercials in this, so they probably just, like, it's probably the exact same movie. They just got Lacey Cher, whatever her name is, former Mean Girl, to come in, do some VO in a closet and say, like, Christian Mingle, so they can dub it over OK Cupid. And then replace the commercials with the Cupid commercials.
In a closet with 100 dresses draped all over you, what else could a woman want out of life?
Oh, boy. Yeah, what? Well, maybe like a good Christian man?
Hey, man, I like chili dogs, not dresses.
I don't like sushi. I almost vomited the idea of eating fish and rice. Just give me a simple chili cheese dog. I'm Sonic the Hedgehog.
This movie came out in 2014, but I swear it's a script for OK Cupid from like 2005, and then it just got kicked down the line, and Corbin Burnson was like, oh yeah, I can do that.
Are you talking about writer, director, star Corbin Burnson?
Star indeed. Well, he really should have gave him the titular Mingle.
Oh, he should have played the main woman, yeah.
Yeah, the main woman or the main guy, either or. Yep. I think it would have been saucier, I think it would have been naughtier, and he would have had the gravitas as an actor.
Instead, he gets relegated to bike fixer. He doesn't even get a name. He's just a guy who fixes chains on Lacey's bike. Loser.
Bike man.
He's got a dead wife. What a loser.
He has a dead wife?
He's got a dead wife. She's been in for 11 years.
I had a real tough time paying attention to this movie.
Bro, 5 minutes in, and I start uploading podcasts for my other show, Fiverr. Like, literally 5 minutes in, I'm like, I got a couple episodes I could upload right now and get that done. All right, I'm just going to do that quick while this is playing. I'm not missing anything. I'm, like, writing up stuff and doing things. Like, oh, wait, I should be watching the movie.
Mm-hmm. I paused this at 35 minutes, and I was like, whew, I took a huge dump. And then I took a break for like 30 minutes and made myself some lunch and then got back at it. And I took a big spoonful
dump
of my soup, of course. And I looked at this movie and said, okay, let's do it, I guess.
Yeah, much like Paul, the main man in this movie, you look at what's in front of you and go, all right, let's do this, I guess.
Yeah, I think everybody in this movie said that directly before they went on set.
Yeah, of course. And then after they cashed the check, they were like, cha-ching.
Well, cha-ching, of course. You do a movie, cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
You take off all your clothes, you strike a Playboy pose. Of course. Yeah.
You step for life. Yeah. L.A. does cost a lot of money, which you see brilliantly in this movie.
Certainly. There's, what do you mean?
Well, the backdrop of this movie is L.A., I believe.
I think
the valley.
So. Oh, of course. Yeah. A stone's throw from Mexico.
Yeah. You could throw a stone across the border.
A stone's throw from Mexico, where everyone talks like a Russian.
Secret Russians.
Oh, of course. Those secret Mexican Russians.
Yeah, that's the lowdown title of this movie, is Secret Mexican Russians.
That's right. Build the wall in front of Alaska, please, to protect Alaska.
Secret Russian Mexicans. It's tough.
Secret Russian Mexicans. Yeah.
Mexican Russians. Who comes first, the chicken or the Mexican?
Cool. Good question. Wow. I don't know who comes either way. But I do know how to make us come, and that's by doing the Pure Boys Prayer.
God bless our podcast, please. God bless all podcasts, please. We love you, please.
Amen.
Pronunciation is key.
Yeah, or a woman. Or a woman.
I don't know. I like amen.
Well, sure, we all like amen, but, I mean, even God liked amen, but then, you know, maybe a woman, you don't know.
Well, when God created us, he said, amen, and thou shalt never change that name to a woman. We didn't know what he was talking about, we barely had ears.
Yep, and we're like, what is a, what is men, what is any of this, how are we talking, what is this, what's happening right now?
That was a lot of the first, like, 20 years of our existence was like, what's happening? What's going on? Who are we? What is this thing that's coming out of my mouth?
Right. And, what's this thing that's coming out of my other end? It's brown and smelly. What am I supposed to do with this?
Well, things go in and then stuff goes out. It's tough.
You know, they don't talk about that in the Bible, but, like, Adam and Eve pooped. They definitely pooped somewhere in that garden. All the animals pooped somewhere in that garden, unless... that's a part of original sin. I don't know. Maybe when we were perfect and made in God's image, we didn't poop or pee or anything, and those holes were just sealed off on us, or they had plugs in them, I guess.
It's hard for us to remember this time because, you know, so much has happened since then. But did we pee? Did we poop? Did we sleep? Did we dream in those early years? Who's to say? Only God knows.
Hey, much like Kid Rock, only God knows why. Hey, that was good. I burped and you clapped at the same time. That was perfect synchronicity.
Yeah, we almost planned that.
Almost. Well, before the show, we were talking about it. And it was like, okay, if I burp, you need to clap at the same time. And you nailed it.
If I burp, you clap. If I clap, you shit.
Yeah, exactly. When a burp passed from my lips, dip, we dip, we dip, right?
Yeah. You can't have both characters on a podcast do the same thing and have the same thing happen as a result.
Characters, we're real people. This is real life, yes. Pal. We've been alive for 5,000 years. Yeah. We've been all over the world. We settled in Haiti. We love it there. Here.
Yeah. Nice catch.
Thanks.
Max, you almost let it slip, but yeah, good one.
We almost blew this whole show apart.
There. I mean, here.
Before we get into 2014's Christian Mingle, the movie, I got a very important question to ask you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, of course. And that is, of course, Steve Creep, whomst was the Beggar Vance of I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry? Can't believe we watched that movie on the show.
I can either. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
We're talking about the Beggar Vance of the film. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say the Beggar Vance of Chuck and Larry, who did it worst, was Kevin James.
Wow, why?
Because he's a big, walking, talking, sexy, everyman. Mm. And I think that's what this movie needed. And it really came out in the picture.
It certainly did. It came out in the picture.
Now, Adam.
Sure.
Whoops, do you think was the Chuck and Larry of Beggar Vance?
Well, thank you so much for asking, Steve Creep. To me, the Beggar Vance of, and I pronounce Chuck and Larry, and it's funny that you would say Kevin James, because to me, the Beggar Vance of Chuck and Larry was Adam Sandler. Of course.
Tight.
Yeah, because he's like, he's a big, sexy man who comes out in the picture and looks great in a shower scene somehow. Never thought I'd say that about Adam Sandler. And is good friends with Ving Rhames and always gives his friends work. And that's what I appreciate about him, is his friends are never unemployed. He's always got a part for them in his movies. Good for him.
I kind of blanked out when you said looks good in the shower, because I just, like, my mind went there and it stayed.
Of course. How could it leave?
Oh, those, like, beads of water coming off of his chest hair. I don't make the show sexual.
No, he doesn't. Nobody does. This is not a political podcast. It's not a sexual show either.
No, it's not sexy for your sexual pleasure up there.
No. I really wanted to say Tila Tequila, but I found out after we released the episode that she's kind of a Nazi, so I was like, ah, damn it. Like, I
kind of, though.
Kind of. Like, into Nazi cosplay. just like likes to dress up like Nazis and stand in front of a green screen with crazy Nazi propaganda on it. I don't know if she actually believes in Nazi stuff, but she certainly likes to act like she does.
Yeah, maybe it's just for the dollar bills, y'all. You don't know this person.
I mean, she is the perfect virgin bride of Christ in her own words, and I guess also a Nazi. I don't know how those two things mesh in her mind. I don't know. The Jews killed Jesus, maybe? I don't know. I can't get into the mind of former reality TV star and porn star Tequila.
Would you still make out with her, though?
Not anymore. Nah, she's fat.
What about sex?
Nah, fat. Back in the old days, yeah, but now
2022,
2023, my brother, year of the Lord.
I'm not going any further. I refuse.
Okay,
it's 2022 till I die.
I'm forever 2022.
Thank you.
Yes, beautiful. Oh man, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. What a movie, baby.
Yeah, I think I have to start turning my mindset differently when we watch these movies. Because I'm watching these movies, I know they're going to be bad, and I just have a terrible time watching them. So I gotta, like, start being happy, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Do I make you horny, baby? Yeah.
Because if you just go insane during these movies, I'm sure it's enjoyable.
It is.
It's more enjoyable than thinking critically of them.
Ugh, and who wants to... How many more critical film reviewers do we really need in this day and age? How many more film podcasts do we really need anymore?
You've heard it here first. From here on...
You've heard it here first?
I have a lot of fun watching these movies, and I'm never going to regret watching a single minute of film from here on out.
Right, but that's not including this movie. This movie you had a terrible time watching, but then the next movie, that's when it'll start. This one, though, you can't go back and retroactively have a good time.
No, I can't go back and dime.
Oh my god, did Huey Lewis and the News walk in here? That's incredible.
It was incredible. They kind of just like whoosh by.
As they were traveling back in time.
Back in time.
It's a good song. God, Huey Lewis was great back in the day. Oh my god. Four? What a good album.
Yeah. Sports?
Sports? Oh, get out of here.
Just banger after banger after bing.
Yeah, Sports was the album I was picturing in my head, but then I said Four, which I don't even know if that's a good album or not. It probably is. It's Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, but Four means or, so
exactly.
I don't really know what that means.
And Erm means... Well, you know what it
means.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, poor Huey Lewis, take care of yourself. I know you're battling some health troubles right now, so I hope you're okay.
Oh, no. All those prayers out to Huey Lewis. No, what's going on with the news? Do they also have cancer?
Well, what's going on with the news? Well, there's a war in Ukraine, and there was
a new segment.
A train accident.
What's going on in the news?
What's going on in the news? Hey, we already have a segment like that. It's called the Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week. And
that's very true. We have it covered.
We've already got it covered. Kevin keeps us informed.
I would like to have a weekly segment about Ukraine, though. That would be good.
What's going on in the war in Ukraine? Well, and that's what's in the news. I'll find a Huey Lewis song and put it under this. I'll just play the back in time, and that'll be like our little intro outro for it. And yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Never again.
I don't want to do this segment. This segment's depressing, and this isn't a political podcast, and everything in the world is political, so we can't talk about anything.
And Kevin's going to cover it. If it's necessary, he's going to cover it.
And people just get offended by everything these days. And you can't even make a joke without people getting offended, and nobody wants to work anymore.
Remember those horrible and terribly offensive jokes that we used to tell? Why can't we tell them anymore?
Why can't I just say them to people's faces anymore? People get so offended by them.
Yeah.
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 Why can't I say a hard F slur 7 times like I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry?
Well, you can in that sense because you're trying to make a point.
Exactly. And it's from 2007. It's a different time. We were different people back. We were just coming off of like the Pimps and Hoes era.
Yeah, we were young and 20 and looking to get wet.
Yeah, 808s and Heartbreaks has just come out. Or maybe it hadn't yet. Something like that. I don't know.
It was in the middle.
Yeah, we were years away from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. We weren't ready for it yet.
Yeah, I think College Dropout was like 2007.
No, that was 2005. I definitely remember because that was like, I graduated high school, many 5,000 years before that. And then that came out. Song album of the summer.
We like to go back to high school every like 100 years or so, just to like have a refresh.
Exactly. What's new? What's going on? Have they updated the textbooks yet? And the answer is no. Of course they haven't. There's no money in the schools.
Well, to relate it to the masses, you know how Subway is coming out with the E-Fresh refresh? We like to do that with high school.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, where are you going with this?
That's it.
I've heard of Subway.
That was the whole thing.
I've heard of Subway. I've also heard of Sub My Way.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's what I say when I go in there. I go, Subway? More like Sub My Way.
So there is not a separate store anywhere called Sub My Way.
In all my years of traveling this earth, I have not seen a Sub My Way.
Yeah, Subway would probably crush them like dogs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Crush them like dogs. Good yeah. Lord, what a horrific image. What's being crushed? Is it dogs, or are dogs doing the crushing?
That's a tough one. I think you're crushing dogs.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. I'm into it then.
That's cooler.
Crush them up, whatever. They've had a good run. Crush them up.
As far as the mental exercise is concerned, I mean, yeah, crush them up.
Yeah, crush your dog, whatever.
Crush all the dogs.
Yeah, Sub My Way, crush the dogs.
We created them. We can eliminate them.
Exactly. We brought dogs into this world through breeding and training of wolves, and we can damn sure take them. How did that happen, though? They said we trained wolves and all that, domesticated them, but like, how does a bulldog come out of that? How does, like, a Great Pyrenees come out of that? Where does that come from?
Like 50,000 years of evolution and crossbreeding.
Oh, damn. Huh. Okay. Well.
Maybe longer.
I got nothing else to add to that.
Maybe shorter.
That's probably what it is. Hey,
the Darwin effect.
I meant to do this when we were in Hero Month, and now we're out of Hero Month, and we're in boring old March. Boring old religious.
Sexy, sexy March.
Religious March. And a religious march to the tomb, I guess, is what we could call this one. Because Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
Next month, I guess. But whatever. I mentioned that my uncle is a firefighter. I'd mentioned that he was a firefighter. And so I texted him the other night, and I was like, hey, out of firefighters, police, and EMTs, firefighters are the coolest, right? And really excited to hear what he had to say about that. And this is the response I got back. He said, hey, Adam Creep. All three of those careers have my respect for what they do.
So shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that is then?
No, no. He said, okay. But he said, but yeah, firefighters are a pretty good bunch. I don't think he didn't get the memo that I wanted to joke, but
yeah.
That's okay.
I think you got to drill down. I think we got to follow up with something very biting.
Yeah, I think I'll just text him back and just say, you know what? Fuck the police. Okay.
Yeah, fuck you for this soft-ass answer.
How am I supposed to create content for my podcast if you're not giving me content, bud?
This is life, or death.
Or death. As it should
you're
be.
Giving me death, yeah.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Till death do us fart. So anyway, that's that.
Well, I'm glad he replied with an honest answer and not some kind of dumb joke, because that wouldn't have been as funny.
Exactly.
For us.
Well, exactly, right? He wanted me to know that he respects all three professions equally. And in my mind, I was like, but not the cops. Like, they're the bottom of the list, right? Like, police at the bottom. You don't respect them as much as you respect actual first responders who are heroes and do their job, right? Like, a bunch of friggin' cops sitting around with their thumbs up their asses, according to Backdraft.
Well, that's why donuts have holes in them, so they have somewhere to put their thumbs other than their buttholes.
Right. It's much like a lug nut. They put their thumb through the donut and then up their ass.
It's like a lug nut. It has screws on the inside so it can get tight.
Exactly. Lug nut. That's nothing.
That's something. I mean, I'm sure some Italian a-hole is sitting there in a, you know, a garage fixing cars right now, and he's thinking the exact same thing.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Pepperoni salami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, are you ready for our favorite segment of the week?
Yes.
Okay, this is What's in the News?
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Kevin Sorbo, you have my heart, you have my star, you're my little wonder boy, and this is the tweet that you pushed out at 1:58 p.m. on February 18th, 2023. 873 1,000 views.
Wow, back up. That's good. The bots are back.
Well, this one's a little spicy. This, if you have young ones near you, definitely close their ears somehow.
Right. We're using your fingers or maybe like gauze or something.
Yeah, like don't use a bunch of chocolate chips or like Sour Patch Kids or anything like that.
They're going to dig those out and eat them, and then they're going to be hearing things.
I mean, if you have kids old enough to be in the room with you right now, you should have figured this out already, but don't put sugar in their ears.
This is the tweet?
No.
Don't put sugar in your children's ears. Love, no. Kevin Sorbo.
The tweet is this. Why is it okay to say Chinese spy balloon, but not say Chinese virus?
No. I really... Well,
yeah.
Well, Kevin, that's interesting, I guess, because one is true and one is false, I guess.
One's probably a little bit more racist than the other, just inherently. I also added an extra word. It's but not Chinese virus, not but not say Chinese virus.
Ah, I understand.
Just a clerical error there, and I really wanted to get that.
You don't want to misrepresent Kevin's words, and I appreciate that. You're a man of integrity and respect, and I respect you for that.
Also, if you're not checking these tweets on Twitter yourself to double check that I'm giving you the right information, you're a bad person.
Yeah, don't just take us at our word. We don't know what we're doing.
We're some dumb a-holes in Haiti giving you the good gospel, of course.
Of course, praise
we
God.
We could be lying about Kevin. He's our opponents in this world of Christian media.
Yeah, he's making Christian movies. We're making Christian podcasts. We're at loggerheads with each other.
Very true.
I've
never heard that phrase before.
Loggerheads? I'm not sure what it means.
What's a loggerhead?
I don't know. Sometimes I just say things to sound smart, and then I'm not actually smart. So, I don't know.
Well, hit us up at speakpipe.com/pureboys
yep.
And let us know if loggerheads is a thing.
Nice.
If we shouldn't be saying it.
I don't
know. That's it.
I was really hoping that the tweet, as you started reading it, I was hoping the tweet was going to be like, why is it okay to say Chinese spy balloon and not I hate the Chinese? I really thought that's where he was going with it.
Pretty close, though.
Not bad.
I mean, the subtext, that's exactly what he said.
It's all right there, yeah. The subtext, it's damn near the top text. I don't know.
We should definitely have a subtext portion of this segment from now on.
It's a good call. It's a really good call, yeah. Well, God, we're almost at the end of this segment. I'm kind of bugging out.
And we're done.
Okay, good. Whew, thank
God. And
we're
done.
We were so close to hearing the like new outro I'd put into that song, and I didn't want to do it yet. We're getting there. I didn't want to do it yet.
We will add subtext, but I think that's a quick... It's probably all just like a whole right-wing stuff.
Oh, for sure it is.
That's the subtext.
Right, exactly. Yeah, every episode... That's what the Kevin Sorbo... Well, I don't know. I don't want to, like, put words in Kevin's mouth. And, you know, when he says things like, why can't I call it the Chinese virus? I don't want to assume that he's being hateful towards the Chinese. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's just being hateful towards the virus that he also doesn't believe in. So what is he talking about?
Well, I think he's admitting that he started the virus in China.
Kevin Sorbo is a Christian scientist who went all on down to China and dug a hole straight through the earth, straight to China, and then created a virus that was released.
Hello, China. I'm Kevin Sorbo.
I've been living in Texas for 7 months, and I already picked up this twang.
Of course that's what he really talks like nowadays.
Of course. Well, because when he lived in California, he was like, hey, bro, is this a Chinese virus? It's so cool. Tubular.
Where can I surf on this virus?
Can I do some heroin under a bridge? I love it.
Do they do heroin under bridges in Texas, too?
I don't know. Where's Anthony Kiedis from? He's not from Texas.
This isn't a Texas podcast.
No, it's not. Oh, my God. They don't pay tax ass in Texas.
Yeah. Income tax. No way. Not
no
here.
Way. Federal tax. Who's going to pay for those roads? I don't know. A generous billionaire.
The federal.
Yeah, exactly. Please, please, Daddy Biden, let me suck your teats. This is not a political podcast.
No. It's not, but I think it might turn into one in a couple of years.
In a couple of years. Yeah, for sure. Not right now, but in a couple of years. Why not?
Like, have you noticed old people just become conservative and terrible as they age? I feel like that's going to happen to us, too.
You're killing me, bro. You're killing me right now.
That's what I'm here for. I'm the Steve to your Adam.
Yeah, you're the creep to my creep.
Yeah, we're both creeps.
Hey, creep of the crop. That's us.
We both just adjusted in this similar way, and I feel like that is a good time to move on.
Yeah, hey, let's go, let's God. It's time to find true love, finally, with Christian Mingle 2014, the site where we, of course, met our wives.
Yes, I met my wife on a website, and it was this one.
Yeah, and it was Christian Mingle. And my what did your profile say?
Get bent, for God.
Eat my shorts, yeah, of course.
Because of the kneeling that you do. I love to kneel.
Wow. Wow, that's good. Get bent for the Lord.
For the Lord. And, yeah, I got, like, 100 messages right away. Of course. Because everybody on Christian Mingle got it right away.
Oh, yeah. They were like, yeet my sins away.
Yeet my sins.
And you were like, yeet my ass. How's that sound? And they were like, well, when can we meet up for a nice coffee?
Yeah, my asshole is shaped like a cross.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, no. You put the question in their head and they're like, is this asshole really look like a cross?
Am I going to have to? I mean, am I going to have to use the Christian back door in order to find out?
Like, that's what gets them started to think about doing butt stuff.
Yeah.
And then you just plow.
Yeah, you prepare your fields for rain, as they say.
Oh, thank you.
Man, I'm bugging out because of this show, because, like, I've started, like, there are okay, Christianity, whatever, right? But, like,
yeah, whatever.
Christianity, whatever. But, like, there are nuggets of, like, good things in there. There are nuggets, like, good expressions, good sayings. And I've said that, like, prepare your fields for rain thing in earnest so many times in my life since we started doing this show. It's so many times where I'm like, well, if we just, like, you know, you prepare your crop, the rain's coming anyway, you got to prepare your field. If you don't prepare your field, the rain's still going to come, but you can't reap the harvest if you don't prepare. And, like, I got that from Facing the Giants, a Christian movie.
See, this is the whole thing with religion, is that they, out of the whole Bible, they have these little nuggets of logic,
yeah,
where
some of them
they
are good.
Tell you to love people and they tell you to prepare your fields for rain. But then there's like 90% of it that's like, kill your son, please.
Right.
And like murder and rape and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. So,
of course.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough, but man, I'm learning lots. And, you know, it's, you can't deny a good expression.
That's the one thing that you have to do if you're having a podcast is learn.
Exactly.
You got to grow as a human being, and Christianity does that for us.
Now,
what was on your Christian Mingle page?
Oh, of course. Eat my ass. Here for hookups only. Not looking for true love. Looking to get my DW'd.
For the Lord. Like you had for the Lord after each sin.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Eat my ass for the Lord, which is directly from the Bible, Galatians 7 to chapters 13 to 14. Eat my ass, said Jesus Christ.
And God willing.
God willing. Praise God, eat my ass. And then, which in that context meant like throw my donkey somewhere, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Jesus also said, you gonna get this donkey. He also said that in the Bible.
And this was all on your profile?
Exactly. Yes. Everything I'm saying, I'm reading my profile right now, including this, what I'm saying right now. This is on my profile too.
How did it work out? Like, did you meet anybody before your wife, or like,
oh, I got,
were there a couple of like slam pieces in the way?
Of course. Yeah. I had to get some slam pieces out of the way. Bunch of Christian girls that were bent at the knee for the Lord, if you know what I'm saying.
I think we were after the same thing, and we got the same thing. A lifetime of companionship.
That's true. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Could have got a dog instead, but...
Yeah. That's how you opened your vows when you were at the altar. I could have got a dog instead.
I'm looking for companionship. Could have got a dog, found a wife, and got companionship either way. Love it. Praise
and
God.
And you force hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say something terrible, and then you force a hug out of them at the altar, and...
Yeah. The priest goes, and now in the eyes of God, you're married.
And of course, I'm a Nazi. Force hug.
She goes, this is all in your vows? And you're like, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, this seemed like the right time. In the house of the Lord, in front of the eyes of Jesus and all my friends and family. Yeah, now's the time to say it. And
now
of course,
the time to say it.
Of course, I got married in a beautiful cathedral, huge vaulted ceilings, a stained glass as far as the eye can see. Just beautiful.
Yeah, a bunch of Michelangelo art.
Yeah, I felt like I was in the Da Vinci Code.
Michelangelo art is tough to say.
Michelangelo art? Nah, it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy if you have, like, the, you know, the flow, the rhythm.
Right, and if you're not, like, thinking of it as you're saying it. I already, right. That's, it wasn't fair of me to do that because I'd already heard you say it twice, and in my brain, I'm like, Michelangelo art, I got that, I can do that.
Michelangelo art.
I wasn't forming that sentence as I was saying it.
Yeah, thinking and saying.
Tough. It's like walking and chewing bubblegum at the same time. You're gonna trip.
Have you ever done it?
No, I'm scared to. I don't even chew gum while I drive for fear of causing a 20-car pileup on the highway.
Yeah, that's what my parents always told me, is never chew gum.
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
It's the worst thing you can do.
Jesus
to God,
never.
To yourself.
And Jesus never chewed gum, and he said that. He was like, I've never chewed a piece of gum in my life.
What's the worst thing you did to God?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Nice try, officer. I won't be revealing any of my sins and crimes on this show.
I want to hear your sins and crimes.
You know how Jesus' name is Jesus H. Christ, right? Like, you know that. Yeah. What did the H stand for?
Hell.
Oh, wow. That's exactly what I was going to say. Jesus Hell Christ. That's incredible.
Jesus Hell Christ. Well, it was named after the devil because they used to be friends.
Yeah, well, the Jesus' name was Jesus Hell Christ. Good for him.
Yeah, good.
That's funny. My wife said that the other day, and I said, I'm going to steal that, and I'm going to say it on the podcast as if I created that idea. And then you said it, and I was like, oh, damn. Well, I didn't even get a chance to steal it from my wife. That's great.
I stole it from you, stole it from her.
No, you didn't steal anything. You're a genius, just like my wife. That's why I love you, like my wife.
We're both geniuses.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we both thought of the same thing in the same heat of the moments.
Yeah, and I thought I should steal this. So there's a sin against God. You asked for a crime against God. There it is. The crime of theft. I coveted my wife's brain.
Why don't we covet things anymore?
I don't know, man. I miss those days. Yeah, but like, it's like in the back half of the sins. Like the top five are the big ones, right? Like don't kill, don't steal, don't whatever the other ones are. I don't even remember what they are.
It's like God had a word count or a sentence count.
Yeah, it's like
it's
like he came up with 6 commandments and was like,
real ones.
10 is like a nicer number, so here's like 4 more. I don't really, whatever. Don't even worry about these ones. Don't even capitalize these ones.
Well, he definitely wanted us to get on the 0 to 10 scale for math and probability and science and stuff. So that was probably it.
Well, because that's how he designed the universe. And that's why math is like a universal language. You can understand science and everything if you understand math. That's because God created it like that. And that's why there's 10 commandments to get us on the 10 scale.
It's kind of crazy that a lot of priests don't, fall under that. He created the universe, so he created math and science, so let's be a science man.
Yeah, let's be a math and science man. Instead, it's science, like, boo, dinosaurs lived with people, boo, that's reality.
Dinosaurs were a joke.
their bones were buried by the devil to trick us.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, I think.
Yeah, me too. God, I love dinosaurs. Oh my God.
Yeah, and I love that they're a trick.
Listeners, if you want to do a real nice thing for me, Adam Creep, buy me a real nice Jurassic Park T-Rex toy and send it to me. I really want one of those, and there's so many good ones, and I've never owned one, and I really want one, and, you know. So send me one to pureboyspod@gmail.com.
Send me the Jurassic Park Lego set.
Ooh, that would be nice too, yeah. Jurassic World, I guess, unfortunately, is probably what it is now. Ugh. I don't want an Indominus Rex. I don't want that. I don't want a Mosasaurus. I want a classic Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Tyrant King, please.
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 Like, bring back the good stuff.
Yeah. Bring back the good stuff, like 2014's Christian Mingle. Woof! Got us all the way back there.
Would you If you made a Christian movie, would you start it other than floating through clouds?
No, that's the perfect way to start any Christian movie. That's why I love The Happening, because it opens with clouds.
I don't understand all these Christian movies that are starting without that. It seems crazy to me.
It's like, if we made a Christian movie, it would start in heaven and then race down through the clouds onto Earth.
Yeah, you would go through Peter. He'd do something funny, like his skirt would go up or something. And
right.
He'd do the Madonna.
No, you'd see his whole You'd see it all real quick as you flew by. You'd be like, whoa, and then you're gone. And then you're...
Okay, you see the and then time slows down a bit, and you see him try to, like, cover it up.
Of course.
Doing the Marilyn Monroe.
Perfect.
And then you're gone. You're gone to Earth.
And it's like, that's like a fraction of a second. So you could probably get away with it. It happens so fast that the sensors probably wouldn't even notice it.
Yeah, they would probably want you to put, like, a God wink in there, like, just superimpose God's face onto his crotch and, like, wink at the user. But we're not going to do that.
No, and they even suggest doing, like, a full Monty stage show thing where they shine bright lights into the crowd when the dingers come out. But we're not going to do that either. We're going to show full male nudity at the start of our Christian movie. That's a promise.
Don't damage my eyes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not fair to shine a bright light in someone's eyes when they're not expecting it. You might as well put a screamer in your movie.
Yeah, it's like when movies have, like, really bad audio clips that are meant to, like, disturb you and make you sick.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, stop flashing lights at me and putting in weird noises.
Yeah, Gaspar Noé or whatever the hell your name is, you French creep. Stop making movies that make people sick from listening to them because you put the brown note in it or whatever.
They should stop giving movies to French creeps.
Agreed, yeah. And they should stop having voiceover done in, like, a tiny little box. Like, they're flying through heaven, through the clouds, and Lacey Chabert's, or whatever her name is, voiceover, is horrendous. It sounds terrible. Like, unbelievably bad. I'm recording this in my living room, and it sounds a million times better than her VO.
It's tinny.
Yeah, it's tinny and hollow and sounds terrible. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened, too, because you'd think that would be a very easy button that you press in post to, like, totally clear all of that up. I guess 2014, new year, new P.
Right. Take out the tin. There's no tin button.
Who was your favorite actor that popped into this movie? I think there's a clear winner.
Yeah,
but
as soon as you said that, I was like, of course, there's only one answer to this question. Do you want to say it at the same time?
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
John O'Hurley. Oh, okay. The Admiral.
Yeah, John O'Hurley.
The Admiral. Shut up. Stephen Tobolowsky. You think he was the best character over John O'Hurley?
Yeah, kind of. I do really like him as an actor.
Yeah, me too.
And he's funny in a lot of things.
And he's funny in this?
Kinda.
He's insane in this. He's a man who runs an advertising agency who cosplays as a naval admiral the entire time for no reason.
This brings me to my whole point of this movie. The person who wrote this, Corbin Burnson.
Corbin Burnson, yeah.
Doesn't seem to know how reality works at all.
Yeah.
How people act in their normal daily lives that aren't actors and actresses.
Yeah, exactly. He's too much of a star. He's too deep in Hollyweird. He's lost touch with humanity.
Yeah, he's swimming in the deep end of California, and he doesn't know how to, like, take a breath.
There's no life preservers around him. He's swimming out in the deep end.
Like, every character in this movie grows and changes in a weird way, and it doesn't progress properly.
It's such a weird... The ending of this movie is so insane to me. Like, it's... Like, this movie is insane. It's a crazy movie about a woman who just wants to find a good man, so she lies on Christian Mingle and says that she's a hardcore Christian, finds a creepy robotic man who's super into the Lord, lies to him, loses him, and then, for no reason, gets him back. Good for her.
The end.
The end. All right, let's wrap it up. I'm Chiz Jism. I love you.
I love you. It would have been good to do that at some point in this show, but we have a lot to say about the Admiral. Or do we? Should we end it?
Well, I have this note. Stephen Tobolowsky, why are you dressed like an Admiral?
He's a part of a marketing firm that likes to have fun once in a while.
I don't think he does like to have... I think he's insane. I think he's like a man who's lost his marbles.
He doesn't say... This is... You give a man a character trait, such as wearing a captain's hat, and you don't really make him, like, a little insane. Like, if he joked around a little bit more, or if he, like, did more admiral jokes or something, that would make a lot more sense. But the fact that he just wears it and goes about his normal day as a boss of this marketing firm makes him insane.
And forces people to call him the admiral.
It's well, like, he is.
Well, it's stolen valor. He's not an admiral. There's nothing to say that he is actually an admiral. He's just Mr. Stolen Valor in this movie.
You're absolutely correct.
Thank
they
you.
Definitely should have had a scene at the end of this movie where the cops come and get him.
A bunch of soldiers' wives corner him and beat him up in an alleyway.
Like, how dare you? My husband was an admiral and he died for this country.
And you broke into our house. You dug up his casket and took his admiral uniform off of him, and now you're wearing it.
I think instead... Well, they didn't have any bloopers during the credits, I don't think. I didn't watch...
I took my mouse and I skimmed over the credits, and there was stuff in the credits, but I went, I don't want to watch it, so I shut it off. I don't know. It looked like maybe bloopers, though, because it looked like scenes we'd already seen. So I don't know. Yeah. Who cares?
It might have been the admiral getting arrested for the crimes that he committed of stolen valor.
That would have been great.
I think they should do that more during credits instead of bloopers, is just show a minor character, have a little bit more storyline.
Yeah, wrap up a story. Like, they totally leave that hanging. We don't even know if John O'Hurley accepts that company for the contract to advertise his magic pills that make your hair grow. And he is insistent that he has a magic pill that will make your hair grow.
If you want to visualize the pill that he has created, it looks like a chocolate almond with glitter blue on it.
Yeah. And no one ever takes them. See, if the movie would have ended with Stephen Tobolowsky, a.k.a. the Admiral, getting arrested, but he had a full head of hair, I'd be like, all right, that's a great end. That's good. I'm glad I stuck around for the credits for that.
Yeah, you got to stick around for that.
Yeah.
Also, if this movie was a tight 130, I would have stayed around for the credits. But the fact that they push it an extra 5 to 8 minutes...
Yeah.
No, I'm not staying for the credits. That's a hard out for me, dog.
If it would have ended this movie when Paul was like, I don't think I should know you anymore. I'm going to marry this other woman, and I don't think I want to know you anymore, Lacey. That would have been perfect. And I would have gone, good, amen, the end, thank you. I guess I just want movies with bad endings. I guess that's what I really want out of life, is movies where nobody gets what they want and everyone gets their comeuppance and it's great.
Well, we want these movies to be a little bit more worse so they can be entertaining. This movie just doesn't hit on any cylinder.
Nah.
For this podcast.
It's boring. It's a boring movie. And, like, filled with creep, like... I don't know why Lacey wants to be with Paul so bad. He's the first nice guy she's ever met, apparently, in her 30s. And she's immediately like, yeah, I love this guy. I want to marry him. But everything about him is a red flag. He's, like, super religious. His family is insane. His mom has already picked out a woman for him to marry, who is his best friend.
And yeah.
It's just like, and the whole time Lacey's like, yeah, I want to be with this guy. It's like, why? He's not even that handsome.
Well, he loves chili dogs and he hates sushi. So that's obviously a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I definitely think they made this script in 2004. Or 100 people made a different script and they tried to meld all of them together. Because there's like 8 montages in the first like 40 minutes, and none of them do a good job of building character or story or the things that they're supposed to do. They're just like what a crazy man thinks people do in their lives when
yeah.
they're in a relationship.
She meets all of his friends and they're all just like insane people. They're all just like, yeah, I've got a baby in my belly, it's inside my belly, and they're talking like lunatics, and she's like, yeah, this is who I want to be a part of, this is the life that I want, I want to lose my mind, I love it.
Yeah, you definitely want to be in a closed off Christian community that hasn't had sushi in California in 2014. That's absolutely wild to me.
But loves chili cheese dogs. It would have been great if at the end he was like, because when he meets her in Mexico again, he's like, oh, you know, is there a place around here that we can get some sushi? It would have been great if she went, what? I don't think so. It's Mexico. No.
They don't have cold things here. It's all hot.
They don't have Coldplay here. The music hasn't reached this place yet. They're going to love it, though.
You're way too close to the equator to have sushi in Mexico.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't have that. The sushi would be cooked because of the equator.
He also, like, doesn't look like a chili dog man whatsoever. He looks like a sushi person.
I mean, he looks like he eats the skin of the victims of the people he kills.
Well, he definitely confirms that when he eats the sushi, because all he does is take the biggest hunk of tuna off of the rice and puts it all in his mouth and chews forever.
Chews forever. Chews like it's disgusting. And again, it's fish and rice. It's not even that crazy of a thing. Like, people act like sushi is this insane, disgusting thing, but it's just fish and rice, bro. Prepared different ways. Just eat the damn thing. It's so good.
And this was definitely a storyline in the 80s, maybe 90s, when that kind of culture kind of started in California, and sushi was brought to the Americas.
Of course, yeah. They do this thing I love in the sushi restaurant where they go to this Japanese sushi restaurant, and then while they're there, the music is just like bing, bing, bong, 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 and you're like, duh, I don't know, guys. I don't know if that's like, I don't know if that's the correct culture or anything. Like, that's just like, you just typed in Asian music into a free music thing, and that's what it gave you, I guess.
This whole movie is a view into Corbin Burns' mind and also corporate America trying to do a Christian Mingle commercial. And it's terrifying. If you really, like, break down this whole movie, it just, like, it's so discombobulating that you can't see the light through the trees.
Yeah, like, this movie is... So, okay, so Lacey Chabert, or Chabert, or Charbet, how do you say her name?
Charbot.
Charbot. She is, like, she works at an ad firm. She identifies as Christian, but, like, doesn't go to church, like, just, like, was raised Christian, is baptized, did all that stuff, but, like, still identifies as it and believes in God, according to her. And then she lies on a Christian Mingle site, and then the guy is like, you need to be more Christian. You're not Christian enough. And she goes, you know what? I'm going to change my entire life. How does that sound? I'm going to throw my life away, even though the only thing I'm unhappy about is that I don't have a man. That's it.
It's really tough because, of course, she wants to poop out a couple of babies and have a family. And all the men that she's ever met treat her like trash. But you gotta have some something inside of you to look for something better.
Well, yeah. I love that her friends are like, maybe it's you. Like, maybe, like, you keep dating all these bad... You can't find a good man, but maybe it's you. And she goes, no, it's not me. And then the first nice man she meets, she lies to him and treats him like a fool. And you go, well, maybe it is you, actually. Like, there's kind of a lot of evidence pointing that it's you.
She also gets no respect for the amount of work she does in the first couple... Like, she buys the Christianity for Dummies book, which we definitely have to get and do an episode on.
Yes, of course.
And then she buys a Bible, she looks through a bunch of quotes, she's going through these Bible studies, and then after that, he's like, you gotta be more Christian than this. Like, she's putting in so much effort and getting nothing out of it.
But she's doing it for the wrong reason. She's doing it to get freaking laid, and she should be doing it to find God or whatever.
Well, they don't kiss until, like, a month in, maybe.
And he's like, no, I'm not gonna kiss you tonight. And she goes, well... Will you yeet my ass? And he goes, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll yeet it till the cows come home.
Yeah, because they... Christians don't see the butt as sexual.
No, of course not. No, no. Like, but he does say no, he's not going to kiss her. And then she, like, kind of, like, begs him. And then he's like, all right. And he kisses her. It's like, oh, that's sad. That's a sad first kiss.
It's very sad. It's probably because they've done everything else but kiss since then.
Right, yeah, of course. Yeah, they've done hand stuff, they've done mouth stuff, just not mouth-to-mouth stuff.
Yeah, dry humping.
Right,
mutual masturbation.
Soaking, of course, all the hits.
Yeah, they've done all of it, but they haven't kissed yet. That's why it's so awkward.
Exactly, they're like, oh, God, we can't kiss, that's too romantic. But you can, like, you can sound me, that's fine. Sounding for a third time!
But that's why Corbin Burnson needs to put better information in the script, so we know that. during that scene.
We need a montage of them banging it out.
The movie's trying to be like a Hallmark movie. It's also trying to be a commercial for Christian Mingle, and it just doesn't meld together quite right.
No, it doesn't work. There's a lot of funny stuff in this movie, like when he goes to Mexico to like put a bell in a church or something, and he's like, come to Mexico with me. She's like, I can't. And he goes, well, just come to Mexico. And she goes, okay. Then she flies down to Mexico, is there for maybe one night, and then the truth is revealed that she's like a fake Christian, and he goes, I don't want to see you anymore. You shouldn't have come to Mexico. And she's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have. Oh, crap. Oh, well.
It's really tough on her because she flew down. She's trying to be a Christian. She's trying to, like, get into your world and know God and love him and praise his feet and all the stuff you want her to do.
Of course, yeah.
But he's like, oh, yeah, you've just been kind of fooling me. Well, let's dissolve the relationship. I have this other woman here.
Yeah, who is, like, perfect for me.
Yeah, same height.
Yeah.
The dick-to-floor ratio is perfect.
The only thing that she doesn't have going for her is the way that she kind of, like, waves with her index finger, and that's it. Like, she does, like, a Danny Torrens in The Shining thing where she just waves with her index finger, and she looks crazy when she does that.
That's creepy, man. That's, what do you call it?
I don't
Something
know.
An insane person would do.
Yeah, it's infantile. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. and like, for some reason, Lacey's like, yeah, I want to get to know this girl more. Why? Why not just run as fast as you can from these people and find a normal, real person to be with?
Yeah, just go back to your advertising firm, sell the hair to the masses, and move on with your life.
Yeah, bang John O'Hurley and get on with your life.
Don't find some papered out mall church where people are singing and having fun.
Like, this movie was shot in California, but it's trying to make you think it's from, like, small town America, because she lives above, like, a little mom and pop, like, hardware store or something like that. And it's like, well, where is that, though? Like, you're not. Everything they show us looks like a small little town, like she's in JL Family Ranch or something like that.
They really wanted to have a JL Family Ranch vibe throughout this whole movie. Yeah.
And then I'd argue that JL Family Ranch stole their vibes.
Cute women come from small towns. Cute Christian women come exactly. from small towns. And that's it.
That's it. There's nothing else. That's it. But
and, of course, the main character goes insane towards the end. She's wanting God, but doesn't get enough of him. And then a storm hits.
And she interprets that as God's wrath. And then is literally, like, yelling out her window at God. And then goes and gets coffee and is, like, yelling at God in the middle of the street. And that's fine, I guess. Like, that the movie portrays that as, like, no, that's good. That's a part of the journey where you lose your mind and you scream at the sky. That's a part of the journey.
Because before that, she confronts Paul after they had broken up. And she's like, I'm a real Christian now. I love Jesus. Yeah. It's okay that your path is different from mine. We just have to accept that. She's saying, like, every single right thing after they've broken up, but, like, secretly obviously wants to get back with him. And then as soon as the new woman is introduced, she goes insane.
Yeah, like, she's saying all that stuff, but at the same time she's also negging his new girlfriend. Like, she's also like, but she's not clearly not right for you, and like, but she's a really nice person, but like, why don't you get to make your own decisions, and like, why can't you be your own person? But she's really nice and everything's good, but like, I'm my own person and I'm living my life my way, but why can't you do that? And he goes, get the hell away from me, actually. I don't think I like you. You're a bad person. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me ever again. And I went, yeah, good. You're the man, Paul.
Hence why she's been single.
Exactly. Like,
well into her 30s.
Yeah. Well, she's 30 on the dot from the sounds of it, so.
Well into her 30s.
But, like, her friends are right. I think it is her. I think she's the problem. And like, she's a mean friend. At the start of the movie, she has a bad date, and she's with her three other friends. The four of them are all sitting together, her and all of her friends. And one of their friends is named Anne-Marie, and she's like, and everyone's like, oh, you know, like, everyone's getting married, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and they're like, why haven't you gotten married yet, Lacey? And she's like, well, I'm going to get married. Anne-Marie's going to be the last one to get married for sure. And Anne-Marie's like, I have a boyfriend. Like, my life is good. And then we find out that Anne-Marie's engaged. Like, in your face, Lacey, you were wrong.
In your flipping face. She is a wild and crazy person. She is set up as living this normal life, but underneath it all, she's jealous. She's just
a liar.
Kind of a shitty person, because she like lies for advertising agencies to get people to buy crappy products.
Mm-hmm.
And makes money for the Admiral.
Of course.
The worst crime.
So he can buy real medals from war and wear them on his jacket and go, I earned these.
I think a nice through line for this movie would have been for the Admiral to have, like, one more piece of, like, uniform on him every time you see him in a film.
Right. He gets his epaulets, and he's got his little shoulder tassels and all that. And yeah, that'd be very cool. And then at the end, he gets shot out of a cannon or something off of, like, a warship.
He just looks like George Washington shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, by the end, he just looks like George Washington. He's got a powdered wig. He's got wooden teeth. He's great.
The ultimate admiral, I think we can all
agree. I think we can all agree. I mean, certainly the OG admiral, if you look at that painting of him crossing the Delaware.
Yeah, big wooden teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Slaves for workers.
Slaves for days.
Slaves for days.
Hey, what'd you think about this line? I feel like I'm in a movie where the guy in the little boat drifts off into the horizon and then disappears. What does that mean? What kind of movie is that?
I don't know. It sounds like a fever dream. Also, little boat?
Well, man in the little boat is slang for the clitoris. Like, let's not play games here. Like, that's just slang for the clit and the vag. Like, that's what it is. The little man in the boat? Like, that's 100%
right.
What it is. It's such a weird thing to put in. It's almost like Corbin put it in as a joke for us.
Well, I think Corbin likes to be a little saucy, even though he's making a Christian movie. Because Hurley's name is DeButt or something?
DeBonar.
Right, DeBonar.
Yeah, DeBonar. Or DeBona.
Heavy on the DeBonar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just such a... The only movie I can think of that kind of fits that description is The Truman Show. Because doesn't he literally sail off in a boat at the end of that movie? Maybe I'm wrong about that. I haven't seen The Truman Show in a long time. But there is a thing with a boat in that where he, like, sails out of the town or something. So maybe she's making some weird roundabout reference vaguely to The Truman Show?
Yeah, they make him scared of water, so he's stuck on land.
Right.
And can never leave their little production spot. So at the end, he takes a sailboat to the wall, and he's freed.
Exactly. And he's never gotten a woman off. Can't find her G-spot.
Well, she was paid to act like
she was paid to fake those O's. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, she takes a bunch of Xanax and then she has to act.
Classic Hollywood. We love you, Hollywood. Never change.
More like Holly weird.
Yeah, for real. What'd you think of the end of this movie where for no reason she goes, I'm just going to, like, leave my job in life and go to Mexico and be a teacher.
Cool.
Real cool.
Just these big, weird leaps all over this movie. I thought it was a great way to end this film, was to finally figure out who she is as a person, which is completely opposite of who she was during the whole movie.
She's such an asshole for that, though. Like, she's such an asshole for going, like... She could have gone anywhere in Mexico, but instead, she went to the one place that Paul's family goes all the time to help out, and is just like, I'm always going to be around. I know you told me you didn't want to see me anymore, but guess what? I'm a good person. I'm helping the children in Mexico. Oh, is this the village that you come to every year? Oh, that's what a weird coincidence. You're trash, Lacey.
Yeah, she's obsessed, and she's trashed. And she hates moms. What's up with Christian movies and hating moms?
Moms are so stupid. They're just nags. Nag, nag, nag.
Because, of course, she's been hanging out with Paul's parents down in Mexico.
Yeah, well, Paul's dad.
Great friends with his father. But that mom, what a piece of shit.
Morgan Fairchild? Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't talk very much during this movie either. And everything out of her mouth is just hateful spit.
She looks very uncomfortable in the t-shirts that they're making her wear as well.
Well, Corbin Burnson probably is saying like a bunch of terrible things in her ear.
Right, he's whispering motivations to her, being like, you had a miscarriage. Here are all the horrible things that have happened to you in your fake life.
I had a poster of you on my wall when I was a teenager, and I never masturbated to it.
And she was like, aren't we, like, the same age? Aren't you older than me, Corbin Burnson? He's like, I don't know.
Time doesn't matter.
Time's irrelevant.
Corbin Burnson says that a lot. Oh, yeah. Time's irrelevant.
This is such a minor thing that I'm about to nitpick, but it annoyed me. I already didn't like Lacey by the end of this movie, but this thing made me so annoyed. When she's a teacher in the school at the end, in the escuela or whatever, I think that's what it's called. When she's a teacher there, A, she hasn't learned any Spanish. Like, the kids are talking to her in Spanish. She's like, please, English, por favor. And it's like, you've been
basic,
here for...
like, hey, somebody's here, yeah. Spanish.
Whoa,
like,
Jose.
Slow down and speak English, you stupid kid.
Like, I love that she says, speak English and also slow down. Yeah. Like, you can speak English at normal speed. That's fine.
But should be able to.
She's been there for at least 6 months, we'll say, right? It might have taken some time to kind of detach from her life. So let's give her 6 months there that she's been there. But she is dressed up like to the nines. Everyone else in the village is dirty and poor, and she is not. And she's literally wearing like wedges as she walks around this Mexican village, like wedges that she got on Rodeo Drive. And it's I know it's a little thing, but it's like you must have just got here then. Like I said 6 months, but you must have got here yesterday because you're still living that California life. And if you were living in Mexico teaching, you would not be living like that. You'd be very dressed down. You'd be very comfortable. You wouldn't be wearing friggin' wedges on dirt roads. That's crazy.
Yeah, like as a filmmaker, put a little grease on her.
Yeah, give her a little colored grease on those lips.
Get her lubed up. Like,
yeah.
Make her look like she's been there before.
She hasn't, though. She must have just landed.
She is looking beautiful.
I guess.
She's my Tila Tequila.
Oh, well, hello. Boy, what is there anything else? Oh, this was... Okay, so when Paul is breaking up with her, they have this great little shout-out to, Degrassi the Next Generation, which I wasn't expecting and in this movie, but here it is. Do you remember this line when he goes, when she goes, you're a terrible Christian, and he goes, and you're a little bitch.
Wait, what is this from?
Degrassi,
this movie?
Degrassi the Next Generation. It's also from this movie. Yeah, at the end when he's breaking up with her.
Well, I do have a sneaking suspicion that this was filmed in Canada. I can't reveal my sources because it cuts too deep, but yeah, this was filmed in Canada.
Wow.
And they knew Degrassi.
Well, of course, yeah. Drake, that's why Drake is in it.
Yeah, he's the man in the boat at the end.
Ah, he's the man in... Oh, why did it end like that? It should have ended with them sailing off in a boat. Stupid bad movie.
There's no water in Mexico.
No, that's the tough part about Mexico.
Yeah, it's too hot.
I do love that she's like, oh, once we're done hanging this stupid bell, I'm going to whisk him away to like a Mexican resort, and we're going to drink margaritas and watch the sunset over the ocean. And her friend goes... The sun does not set in the Atlantic Ocean. It sets in the Pacific Ocean, dummy. What do you think? You're stupid. What are you doing? She's like, oh, yeah, right. Oh, crap. Oh, well.
You know, that now that you've laid it out for me, I think her character is just supposed to be dumb.
Like, she's like, I'm following my path. I found myself. But all she's done is just, like, take his advice and do the things that he's told her to do. And she's like, I'm my own independent person now. You haven't learned anything.
Yeah, you're following a man's very restrictive path through life.
You're going to wake up in Mexico poor as hell one day and go, I've ruined my life. Oh, I got to get back to that advertising firm.
Well, Paul talks about finding your Christian moment, and she doesn't really throughout this whole movie. She just follows his path.
Well, and he tells her the story of how his dad was a drifter who found a piece of driftwood, and his last name is Wood, and then he saw Jesus in the driftwood, and he carved it into a statue of Jesus, and that's how he became, like, Christian? And she goes...
She points out immediately how coincidental that is, but instead of like talking about it more, they go, huh.
Yeah, he goes, huh, I guess that is a lie. Huh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, he made it up.
Yeah. We don't
just
ever
like
see
this whole Bible.
We don't hey, watch yourself. We don't ever see the why didn't they show us the driftwood Jesus? That would have been nice.
Yeah, and the man in the boat and it all connected, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know you want to see Lacey's little man in the boat, of course, you creep.
Yeah. I could do with that.
Stick
That'd
with
be
Tila,
nice.
Stick with Tila Tequila, all right?
Nah. You get yours, I'll get mine.
Hey, Steve, I got a really important question for you.
Give it to me.
Can Christians eat sushi?
Well, according to this, he did swallow. He is a Christian.
So did she.
Yeah.
Hey, well, maybe. We don't know.
Well, probably that night, because they did everything before the kiss.
Right, butt-chugged, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say... he went to the washroom afterwards and puked it up.
Right. So
and
no.
And so no.
Fake Christians can eat sushi, of course.
Yeah, like her.
Yeah, but not real Christians like Paul.
Exactly. What is her character name? Is it Heather or something?
It's like Gwendolyn or Gwennifer? No, it's not Gwennifer. It's like, because people call her Gwenny, and she's like, I'll kill you if you call me that. And then his lunatic Christian friends all have stupid nicknames. She goes, well, I guess call me Gwenny then. It's like Gwendolyn or something like that.
Gwennifer.
Yeah, I think it's Gwennifer, yeah. Are you looking it up?
Adam, I have a serious question for you.
All right.
Based on the movie that we watched for this podcast Christian Mingle. Oh, yeah. Can Christians eat pork?
Inconclusive.
Tough.
Inconclusive. Well, now hold on. We don't know what kind of hot dogs those were. Those might have been pork dogs, but probably not. They're usually all beef.
I think I saw all beef in the background. For
and
sure.
The chili was certainly beef chili. You don't make pork chili. Disgusting.
He definitely ate it like it was all beef, all man.
Oh, yeah. And he said that. He was like, this is all beef. Oh.
Yeah, and she doesn't eat a hot dog.
No, but he's a real Christian. So, I mean, Christians can eat hot dogs, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can eat pork.
No. And he didn't have, you know, like, priest garb on. He didn't say, like, I'm a Christian and it's okay for me to eat this.
Right, of course.
Before he ate it. So it's still kind of inconclusive, but it's probably the closest we've come so far.
Hey, definitely the closest we've come, for sure. I can't wait to find out. I feel like we're going to get an answer one day if Christians can eat pork. And one day these movies will lead us to the Lord. But this ain't the one, Chief.
Chief, this isn't the one.
Chief, this ain't that.
That's the only thing wrong with this movie is they need to say Chief more.
Everyone's got stupid nicknames. Why isn't Steven Tobolowsky the Admiral calling everyone Chief? He should be. At least that's a character for him.
The Admiral, Chief.
Right.
Yeah.
John O'Hurley is in this movie for about 4 seconds, and I was very upset about that.
He did a tight day.
Oh, yeah.
On this movie, for sure.
They said, let us dye your goatee. Let us put a racing stripe in your goatee. And he went, but that's going to ruin my look. And they'll go, well, shave it off.
Shave it off.
And you know what? Malibu Down the Family Man would shave it off.
Which they kept mentioning.
Yeah, of course. They were like, hey, aren't you that guy from Malibu Down the Family Man? And he was like, not yet.
Malibu Dan?
Not yet, I am not. I'm that guy from Seinfeld. That's how everybody knows me now. Soon, they'll know me as the guy from Malibu Down the Family Man.
10 years after the final episode of Seinfeld, it was still hot.
Oh, yeah.
Still on everybody's tongue.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one knew him as John O'Hurley. They knew him as...
the man from Seinfeld.
Fetterman?
Seinfeld.
Petterman? Kramer. That's who he played.
It was, Fetterman.
Yeah, exactly. We're big fans of things.
Yeah, we're big fans of things. Don't you freaking forget it.
Hey, before we go, I just want to say Balls All Drained is like the best porn name ever. And we didn't give it its due in the last episode. Afterwards, we talked it up like crazy. But on the show, we kind of quickly brush over it. But man, I've been laughing about Balls All Drained all week. It's great, and I love it.
I honestly had a couple of days where I forgot about it, and you brought it back into my life, and praise you for that. Balls All Drained, you're a character that doesn't exist, but you deserve to live.
You deserve to live and be born again.
and to have sex with people on camera.
Hey, that sounds good. Well, until next week, I love you.
I love you. Balls all drained.
Balls all drained.
I'm just Chisholm. I'm just Chisholm.
Please.
I'm just Chisholm. I'm just Chisholm.
Please.
I'm just Chisholm. I don't think that it's coming unless it's
I'm just Chisholm. I'm just
I don't think so. What?
You haven't surely come until balls all drained.